Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for the word this morning? Are you ready in the back? Well, let's get started. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Say hallelujah when you're there. Somebody's catching on. Verse 11, talking about Noah's flood, right? In the 600th year of Noah's life, it took him 100 years to build that boat. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Everybody say 40. Now turn over to chapter 8. Now the flood has ended. They've been in the ark over 100 days now, waiting for the waters to go down. And it says in verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, say 40, that Noah opened the windows of the ark, which he had made, and sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So it was 40 days of rain day and night. And then after the tops of the mountains were seen, God, for some reason, says, and it was another 40 days waiting that they could get out of the ark once they saw the top of the mountains, till they could find dry land. I want to teach something out of a book that I'm currently reading that Pastor Bob Martin gave to me by a friend of his called Pastor Chuck Tate. And it's called 41 Will Come. When you study 40 in Scripture, it repeatedly refers to a time of judgment, like the flood, or a time of testing or trial, like we're going to look at Jesus in the wilderness, a time of development, a time of encounter with God, a new season. 40 represents many new things. But often, 40 is a time of trial. I mean, 40 days and 40 nights of rain, you're wondering, is this ever going to stop? And understand, when the fountains of the great deep were broken up, that was not a nice cruise ship easy ride. Continents were shifting. The entire world was in chaos and upheaval. That was a wild boat ride during those first 40 days. Do you follow me? And I'm sure Noah is going like, is this ever going to quit? And the animals are thinking, is this ever going to quit? But 41 came. On day 41, the rains stopped. On day 41, the time of waiting for the waters to go down were there enough they could get out of the ark. Do you follow me? And the battle you're going through, the enemy always tries to tell you it's never going to stop. It'll always be like this. Oh, woe is me, or oh, woe is you. It's hopeless. You need to give up now. You need to quit now. You need to quit serving God now. You need to quit getting in the Word now. Quit praying now. Don't even confess the Word anymore. Why? Because it's just not working. Your life is miserable. Do you follow me? Know this. 41 always comes. I used to, when I would get stuck in a traffic jam, you know, be driving, you'd be three lights back trying to get somewhere on time, and I'd start to get frustrated. And I'd finally realize, you know what, I can remember 30 years ago being in a big traffic jam in the interstate and was stuck for hours. But by the end of the day, the traffic started again, and I made it home. And how we're 30 years later, I'm no longer in that traffic jam. This little jam will stop bothering me as well. In other words, it's going to be released and we're going to go on and I'm going to get where I'm going. And it's allowed me in the traffic jams to have peace when I should be like, oh, in the natural, like, what happened now? And I just think, time's passing. I'll just pray in the Spirit. I'll just worship God. And this too shall pass. 41 will come. The season that you feel like you're in a trial, understand you're not in God's judgment. But you may be in a time of testing, or a time of trial, or a time of extended development. 41 is going to come. You're going to see an end of the season that you're in. Things are going to break free for you. Do you understand this? Let's look at some other verses dealing with 40. In fact, I was shocked. How many times do you think the word 40 appears in the Bible? 145 times. What'd you say? 130? Pretty good guess. Now, here's the thing. Some of the times 40 appears, it may say 40 and 2, or 40 and 6, you follow me, or 40,300. So I don't have a way to differentiate without just going through and counting how many are 40s. But I'm curious, maybe there are 70 40s in the word where it's just 40. I've gone through and read all of them in the past few days. But what if there were just 70? I may go back and count just to see. Because we know 70 has been an important number for us. And it's now 70 years since Israel became a nation, right? And so 41 is going to come. The point of this message is just relax. You're going to make it through if you just stay the course. You know, I'm reminded of that message that Pastor Callan did a few years ago at the Word Rally, where it talks about, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And he had Elder Fantley Smither, who is a master stonemason, having a big rock turned up on edge. And Fantley understood how to split rocks, and he would just pick up the hammer. He wouldn't even swing it. He would just pick it up and let it drop. And it would go clank or ding, you know. And he'd keep hitting pretty much the same spot, just clink. And I don't know how many times he hit the rock. And it was a big rock. But finally he hit it again, and it was singing. Bing, bing. And finally hit it again, maybe for the 20th time, and it went clunk. And he said, there's the sound of the shift. And he hit it again, and the rock just split open. Big rock. The sound of the impact was breaking the rock apart internally until the rock split in half. Do you follow me? But for the first 19 hits or so, or however many it was, could have been 100. For the first number of hits, it looks like nothing's happening. Until that final one, I mean, that'd be the blade, right? Till he hits it and he hears that sound change. And now he knows the rock is about to split. I'm telling you, it may look like nothing's changing in your life. At least the enemy's trying to tell you that. But if you keep speaking the word, 41 is going to come. There's going to be a change. I'm teaching this this morning because we've been declaring this a year of transitional change. And I tell you what, I've got enough things going in the air right now and enough challenges going on that I'm almost feeling overflooded. In fact, I'm feeling that way much of the time. And all I can do is say, Father, but I praise you. And you showed me this was going to come. And I know there's another side to this. I know if I depend upon you, you're going to stop the floods. You're going to calm the waves. You follow me? And now I know 41 is going to come. So I want that to be something we're thinking about in here. 41 is coming. There's another side to this. And some of you, if I would have you give testimonies about the times you had to deal with a situation in your life that looked like it was just overwhelming and it would never stop. But there finally came a point in time you could pinpoint, put your finger on the moment in time that it shifted and it was no longer that major problem. Do you follow me? What happened? 41 came. Now, it's not always 40, but there's a shift. This is a year of radical shift. So in the times when, in the past when I would feel overwhelmed, when you'd feel like, you know, the enemy's risen up like a flood, and I'm not feeling the enemy so much as I'm just feeling the stretching to go into these new realms and the demands of everything. Not to mention, you know, the things we're dealing with taking care of Patty's mother now. But that's just a piece of it. Is all these things in the past that would have swamped me under, and I'd have been like, oh, Jesus, I don't know how much more I can take. You know what I do now? I say, thank you, Lord, you gave me a prophetic warning of this time. Not just for me, but for this church. And what I now know it means is I'm transitioning into living out of your kingdom more than living out of the natural. And I know you have this under control. Amen. See, I'm getting new revelation. The word said that when the powers of darkness come in like a flood, you remember this verse? We raise up a standard, the power of his name. Well, see, when the flood comes in, I used to think all I do, I have to speak the name of Jesus. I've got to speak the word and it'll stop the darkness. And that's true. But I want to add to it. When that darkness comes in like a flood and we lift up a standard of the power of his name, you're shifting kingdoms of allegiance. Do you follow me? It's that time where things are overwhelming you and you say, I've got to live out of a different kingdom. I can't live out of this realm anymore. I'm shifting to this new realm. I'm shifting to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to depend upon the word to sustain me in every area of my life. So instead of feeling overwhelmed, you feel excited. I'm kind of getting off on some sidetracks. But they're to make the points I want to. I'm reminded of in World War II, we had invaded Normandy. We'd stormed the beaches. We'd gone across France. We've got Germany on the run. They're pinned back behind the Rhine in their own land. It looks like they're done for. And all of a sudden, Hitler launched forth a surprise attack with major tank divisions that he pushed back our lines. And they called it the Battle of the Bulge. How many have heard of the Battle of the Bulge? And it was a major German offensive trying to get us to reach a truce in the war, to settle for more than just, unconditional surrender. I was trying to think unlimited, unconditional surrender. They were trying to make enough of a move to get the Allies to sue for a peace, where Germany got to keep some level of control. So when it happened, many of the Allied leaders were in a panic. Like, what do we do? Look, they've come out here. They've got all these tanks. They've got all these forces. They've pushed us way back. And Eisenhower, who was general of all the Allied forces during World War II, instead of panicking, he said, I'm excited. I'm paraphrasing. Because what have they done? They've come out from behind their fortifications in Germany at the Rhine, and now they're out on the. They brought all these tanks that are in the open. Now we can get to them. And he took what the enemy thought was an attack to get us to fold. The one in command says, "No, this is an opportunity that we could have never imagined before." And what happens? We won that battle, and Germany lost all those tanks. And they never could really put forth any type of offensive effort again the rest of the war. I want you to see when you're in these battles, not that, oh no, the enemy is pushing me back, but he's come out here now, I can tear him up with the word of God. I can shift into the kingdom of heaven and push him back, and I can see victory in my life like I've never seen it before. Do you follow me on this? Know that 41 is going to come. Turn on over to Genesis. As soon as I wake up my iPad again. Chapter 25. I'm not sure how many of these we can get to in this teaching. Genesis chapter 25. And let's go to verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel. Isaac was 40 years when he got married. What happened? A season of being by himself, a season of loneliness ended at 40, and 41 came, and he had his bride he was in love with. Do you follow me? Your season will come to an end. It says in Genesis 26:34, and Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife. 41 is coming. Acts chapter 7. And let's go to verse number. This is Stephen giving his sermon before they martyred him. And he's starting to speak about Moses. And I want to pick it up in verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. How many know that Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's court, right? And was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, we're not going to take time to study through this, but we know what happened. He went to visit the children of Israel, and he witnessed an Egyptian abusing one of his brethren, an Israelite, and he killed the Egyptian and had to flee because it was discovered what he did. Moses was 40 years old, and at 41, he had to flee. If I had 40, 41 came, and he fled into the wilderness, into the land of Midian, right? And became basically a shepherd, became a farmer for a long time. Now go on down to verse number 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. Remember the burning bush? What did the voice tell him out of the burning bush? Go back to Israel. I mean to Egypt. And I want you to set my people free. Now here's the interesting thing. Moses lived to be how old? 120 years old. It was in three different segments of 40 years. 40 years of training in leadership, witnessing Pharaoh's rule. 40 years of searching in the wilderness. We could even call it 40 years of running, 40 years of separation from what looked to be like his call. But then 40 years of stepping into what God had for him to do. See, in each case, 41 came. There was a radical shift in his life all three times. Do you see this? Well, all two times. Two radical transitions. And what I want you to know is, how many know Moses carried the glory of God? After he came down from Mount Sinai. How long was he on Mount Sinai? 40 days and 40 nights. Moses carried the glory of God. Scripture compares Moses as a type, Moses of the law is a type of the covenant we have with God now. Do you follow me? And it says the former glory that Moses carried will not compare with the glory that's to be revealed upon us. And Moses experienced radical shifts in his life and in his walk with God. In this year of transition, I just want to make you aware radical shifts may be coming your way. Know that 41 is going to come. Some may be thrown into a time of great development, others in a time of great opportunity. But there's going to be shifts presented that if you'll trust God and not be overwhelmed and go through those challenges by the Word of God and with praise on your lips, you're going to break through into victory, into promotion, into the glory of God like you've never dreamed possible. And I'm not saying the glory is coming in 2018, but I'm telling you, you're going to higher levels with God in 2018 if you do this right. And you'll have a choice. Fight or flee. Run away from the things of God. Keep trying to do it your way. Or fight by the Word of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Take up the shield of faith whereby you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fight to victory. Have I got any warriors here this morning? I just had to do that. So then we have Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16 and verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan was called the land flowing with milk and honey. Which again, if you combine milk and honey, what do you get? Money, right? It was the promised land. But before they went into the promised land, it was preceded by 40 years of eating manna and struggle in the wilderness. You know, some said, well, I would just love to have been there and eat some of that manna and experience that time with Moses in the wilderness. No, you didn't want that. That was a time of virtual hopelessness. I mean, 40 years and nothing changing around you. And women can't get any new shoes. They keep wearing the same shoes because they don't wear out. You're eating manna every single day. Manna was when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were hungry and complaining. God sent manna, which was it was called bread from heaven, but it would form on the ground little white particles. This is the size of coriander seed. Tastes like coriander. Anyway, and they would have to gather it up, and that's what they ate for 40 years. 40 years of gathering manna off the ground. Me, I'm not a real big food person. I could eat about anything. But I think the same thing for 40 years would start to get old. Do you find, somebody bring me a T-bone or, you know, a hamburger. Just somebody bring me a hamburger. Praise God. And so they're eating the same thing. But basically that was a time. For some it was a time of judgment. In fact, let's look there. Let me see if I can find that verse. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll read through some of these and let's see if I get there. Oh, yeah. Numbers 14, that's where it's at. Well, I jumped ahead of myself. Hang on. Numbers 13. In Numbers 13... this is early on in their wilderness journey. And Moses said, it's time to go take the land. So remember they sent the 12 spies in? What do we say? 2 were good, 10 were evil. right? Brought forth an evil report. It says in Numbers 13:25, and they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They had a bundle of grapes so large it took two men to carry the bundle. Remember this? Nevertheless, there's the but. Right? The nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They were the giants, right? And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And of course, Caleb spoke and tried to steal the people, but there rose up such a stir, they decided not to go in. And of course, some level of judgment came on them that day for it. And they changed their mind, but God said, it's too late. There was an open door of opportunity. You have missed it. Now go over to chapter 14 and look what it says. Chapter 14, let's go to verse 33. Well, verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. This is God declaring some level of judgment over Israel. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. God was not happy. They did not believe him. And he said, for every day you search the land to discover what I told you was there, and you rejected it because you were afraid of the adversary, you will wander in the wilderness for 1 year. 40 years for 40 days. I tell you what, it doesn't pay to disobey a clear word from God. You understand this? And everybody died off. That was really, I guess, over 20 years old and over, other than Joshua and Caleb, the two that said, hey, we can take the land. And only the children that grew up witnessing the miracle power of God in the wilderness were able to go in. Do you see this? But the promised land, through Joshua, after 40 years of wandering in lack, just enough, the same thing over and over again, they crossed the Jordan, which is the river of death. They crossed the Jordan into the promised land. 41 came. Everything shifted. Now all of a sudden, they're watching God steamroll over their enemies if they would just follow him. How about Jericho? I mean, have you ever felt like the enemy was tap dancing on your head? Like, you know, you were fighting, but maybe you weren't sure you were winning. Of course you have, if you've been in Christianity very long. But when they got across the Jordan, 41 came, and there's Jericho in front of them. And it looks like an impossible victory to win. Walls so large they would ride chariots on top of them. And God said, now march around the wall for 7 days and don't say anything. But on day seven, go around it seven times, shout, and you'll see a victory. And when they did, the walls fell flat. And it appears from Scripture, they took Jericho with so much assistance from God, they didn't lose a single man to take the most powerful city in the entire promised land. They didn't lose a man until somebody disobeyed what God said and took some of the spoil out of Jericho. And that cost him his life, right? Remember Achan? 41 came, And when 41 came, it wasn't, hey, we're going to march out to war and have to, you know, lock swords with the enemy and, you know, man for man type battle. God, it says the walls actually dropped into the earth. Evidence seems to demonstrate. The wall sank into the earth. All God had to do is say, hey, dirt under those walls, you're now water. We don't know what God did. You follow me? Bring a river through there and it turns to quicksand under the walls, underground, you know, whichever. The walls fell flat and they marched over and won the victory. I'm telling you, in your 41, you're going to have some effortless victories. We're going to hear Chuck Tate talking a little bit about same day manifestations. 41 is on the way. I need to make sure I don't run out of time, though. Let me just read through a few more of these. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat bread or drink water. You know, I feel like there's some of these I need to cover. I may have to touch on next week. Let's go to the New Testament. Instead. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Are you getting anything out of this? I want you fired up for 41. Enjoy the season you're in. But know there's another side to the battles you're experiencing. The enemy cannot keep up an attack. Matthew chapter 4, it says in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And of course, then came the temptations of the enemy. And how did he win every single temptation? By the Word of God. He won every single battle by the Word. But those 40 days were a time of proving for Jesus. Some of you may have 40 days of proving. Some may have 40 months. Some may seem like it's been 40 years. 40 years. You follow me? But no, there's another side to it if you come through it correct. I believe if we battle God when we're in a battle, the battle is extended. Do I need to say that again? If you're fighting against what God's wanting to do in you, when you're in the midst of a battle, you'll stay in the battle longer. But if you'll say, God, I know this isn't of you, and I know you have everything I need to take me through it, and you'll call upon God and praise and worship Him and speak the Word, guess what? The battles will cease. This too shall end. 41 is going to come. So Jesus Himself, our forerunner, the firstborn among many brethren, had His own 40 He went through. Tempted personally by Satan himself. I like what Paul, I shouldn't say Paul, I like what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12. He says, you've not yet suffered the shedding of blood. What the writer of Hebrews was saying is, suck it up, cupcake, it ain't that bad. Quit whining, quit belly aching, and speak the Word. And I'm telling you, if we'll do it, 41 will come. But it's hard to do much. It's hard for God to do much with self-centered, pity party people. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? Don't even want me to say that one again, do you? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Let's just go to verse 3. It's talking about Jesus showing Himself to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. It says, to whom also He showed Himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They were in Jesus, resurrected Jesus, Bible training class for 40 days. I wouldn't want that one to end. How about you? Don't go. Just stay here, Jesus. Just teach us. But there came a time after this personal, how can I say it, intense training that was going on, that 41 came, and now he's ascended. And now they've got to carry on without Jesus being in their midst. But guess what? 50 came also, the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, because 40 had come, they'd been obedient to stay in the training. You follow me? They'd received the personal instruction by the risen Savior. When 50 came, the Spirit of God was poured out from heaven, and they began to speak with other tongues, and revival broke forth. Now, 41 came, and there were 10 days of transitioning to get in divine order. You follow me? To elect another replacement for Judas. But when 50 came, a precise timing of God, the Spirit of God was poured out. God's not playing around when he says 40. It's not in there by accident. Your 41 is coming. Your breakthrough moment. You're transitioning to a new season. Your promotion to a new level. You're stepping into a new anointing. See, we keep talking about the glory coming. And God told Habakkuk to write it down on tables, right? Then he run that readeth it. Then he said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Amen. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, 41 is coming. See, the glory, God intentionally told us. He did it with a purpose. He said the glory is going to seem like it's running late. Because verse 14 says the earth's going to be filled with glory, right? It's going to seem like the glory is running late, but know that 41 always comes. There's a date coming. God's bringing the glory. But who spent time being obedient in the 40-year segments of time to stay at the feet of Jesus, to stay in the Word, to stay doing the right things, to pass the tests along the way, to not bail out, quit, or blame other people? To transition from living in the world to living out of the kingdom of God. Who will make those shifts? And when they do, when the 41 of the glory comes, look out. You're about to do what you never thought anybody could do. Well, listen, I'm out of time with this teaching so far where I'm at this morning. I want to make time for this video. Are you guys ready for that? We have a video by Prophet Chuck Pierce, who's one of the three people that Sid Roth was interviewing at the beginning of the year about 2018. So this is part two of that series.
Outlook TV special.
Now, I have all three of the prophets that are here today are personal friends, but I really appreciate the gift that Chuck Pierce has brought to the body. One of the things you have revealed to us is the understanding from ancient Israel of understanding how to have access to God, how to worship God, even the year that we're in now, 2018. Those numbers have meaning in Hebrew and in English. Unpack it for us.
Now, Sid, the real issue came when the Lord visited me when I was 18. And when he visited me and revealed himself as the God of Israel. It was in 1972, and from then on, he unveiled his word from being who he is to me. Now, with that, I've always looked from a Hebraic perspective. And what he did, my family had gotten messed up in their provision, and I think I shared that the last time I was here. And the inheritance that I had, now I was over it as the firstborn. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I can restore what you've lost. But what he said, you're going to have to understand first fruits. He spoke to me out of Proverbs 3. So my whole life has been going back to understand the firstborn, to understand the first power of first fruits, the celebration the Lord has for us every month, to go from blessing to blessing to blessing to blessing overtakes you. Now, I think that's what I heard Hank say. We are coming into a place this year where it will be a now moment for us. A now moment where you'll hit a moment in your life and all of a sudden a blessing overtakes you. And that comes because we have returned to God's order. That's what this year is about. Eights are always linked with new beginning and first. They're linked with the prototype. Seven, you're completing. Eight, you're beginning. This year is like a new beginning for all of us.
Now, it's 2018 on our calendar here. And what is it on the Jewish calendar?
In the Jewish calendar, it's 5778. So you can see it a little different from a Jewish perspective, from a covenant perspective, because 70 is different than 10. See, whatever year you're in, whatever calendar you're in, you're in the 8th year. That means you're in this new beginning. 8 is also linked with gate. But in Hebrew, see, 10 means testimony. In Hebrew, it means you're coming out of captivity. 70 is linked with ayin, God watching you. The Lord is watching you come out of captivity into the testimony for your future this year. I speak that over America. I speak that over the nations. I say this year we're coming out of captivity and we're coming into a new prototype to move forward into the kingdom of God plan that he has this year.
You know, when I looked at the fact that we're in 2018, I think the Hebrew word for 18 is chai. Like you've seen the toast l'chaim, to life. That's what chai means, life. And I believe that God is going to blanket Israel and all these nations of the world, especially the Muslim nations, with new life, with a God they can know, not a God a million miles away that was irrelevant to me as an Orthodox Jew, but a God you can know who cares for you, that's personal, that you can hear his voice. Such a deal. Only a Jewish God could do that.
Now, here's the way to look at it. Here's how you look at it, because eight, the word that you just spoke, is linked with gate. It means he's at the gate to open it up so you go in for the ultimate experience of what has been promised, life. And so this year, I see that we've been up to this gate many times. But this year's different because God is watching how we go through the gate. Now, the number 70, see, Hebrew is a whole language. The number 70 is iron also. It means angels at the gate. So we have to understand that this year is a year of divine visitation. It's a year of divine help for us. Because, see, every Christian should understand they need Holy Spirit. They have to have Holy Spirit to help them, the helper. Jesus, Yeshua, is at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead helping us. Now, they have to have the body of Christ. That's why the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. You've got to know your ecclesia.
And yet so many Christians have been bored with church, and they're not bored with God. They're not bored with reading their Bible. They're not bored with praying. But there's like an exodus out of churches. You're saying we need to reverse
that. They're bored with an old wineskin. They're bored. They're bored with the church that didn't shift. Hmm. See, church you build, and Jesus said, seek ye first. Now, remember, this year's about first. Seek ye first the kingdom. That means this year is about unlocking, not just what you have been had built in the past. It's unlocking your future. You unlock the kingdom. You build the church. And see, what happens is if we quit unlocking the kingdom, if we quit moving in God's plan for how He wants to move, our structure gets old. I've written about that in several books, but this is the key this year comes with, the way to understand it is, it's the book of Ruth this year. See, Ruth is linked with, the mother, the grandmother, the widow, the field. It's linked with the gates, coming to the gate of the city. It is the book of the year. And it's linked with a moment where all of a sudden Ruth, Naomi, after Ruth making covenant with her and aligning with her, all of a sudden Naomi says, honey, we can't keep going the way you're doing. You're gleaning and you've been gleaning in the best fields here, but we've got to make a shift. And remember what she says to Ruth, you've got to change clothes. You've got to take off your old garment. You've got to take a bath. You've got to have a new anointing. And then you have to go down to the threshing floor. That's what the year looks like. We got to take off our old garment, our old sorrows from the past season. We've got to make a shift with a new anointing, and we've got to be willing to go into the harvest field. And I think that's why I had the visitation.
That's what I was going to ask you. Tell me about this visitation. You haven't had a chance to release this much.
No, I've been going so much this year, and I've not really been able to discuss, but I will summarize it this way. This year is about gates, doors, angels, and war. So if you'll think like that, and I mean personally in your life, don't be afraid of the word war. It just means conflict to break through, conflict to enter into rest. Now, what happened was I awakened from a dream, and there stood an angelic being. Now, that has only happened to me two other times in my entire life. So this isn't something very usual for me. And this angel was peering out, and it was almost like all of a sudden we were in a different place. And I could see what the angel was seeing. Hank said something. This is a year of truly understanding the Lord's Prayer. Atmosphere. Our Father who art in heaven, may your will be done in earth. Earth environment. This angel, some way or another, there was a divine alignment. This angel was peering out, and the angel turned and looked at me with red eyes, fiery red eyes. And instead of falling down and being afraid, I think I knew the word well enough that they always tell you to get back up. So, and don't be afraid.
Okay.
So I said, who are you? He said, I am the angel of war for God's covenant harvest plan. And all of a sudden, I could see what he saw. And I could see nations. Now, I want to say this. I believe, and I'll go with what you and Hank were saying, I believe because Donald Trump in America, our president, decreed that Jerusalem would be the capital of America, a capital of Israel. All of a sudden, America and the nations took a huge shift. Something happened worldwide in the spirit when he made that decree. No president before has ever been bold enough to do it. I'm not even sure if he knew what he was doing, he would have done it.
Candidly, I was shocked that he did that, and I was as pleased as could be, because I also know what was released on America by him making that decision. That was a godly decision.
Now think about it. Think about it. That was a first. Mm-hmm. It had to come this year for us to move into the remainder of the season we're in. This angel, I believe, came just like this. The angel came in the book of Joshua when all of a sudden the Lord had promised him 40 years prior the angel would come. The angel didn't even have to come until they got across into the promised land. Then the angel showed up just like the Lord said he would. At Passover time, and they crossed in. I believe that opened up a portal between earth and heaven. This angel came, and all of a sudden, he was peering out at the nations for harvest. Now, I've shared before, and I've written in two or three books, about how America had 21 states in covenant with the Lord, and I could see those states beginning to light up, as Hank was saying, with the glory of God. Just like you've been praying, I could begin to see them come alive. I could see other states making the shift. I could see dark spots, and I could see other, and I know it was other angelic hosts, sees the Lord of hosts, being sent to nations. Nations have angels. And I could see out, and I could see what nations were beginning to come alive for harvest.
You know, when I have you back a little later, I want you to talk about that. But you told me on the phone when I talked to you in Korea that it was a battle over covenant.
Totally.
What was the issue?
The real issue is who will nationwide begin to come into God's order of covenant. Now, that's where the great conflict's going to come this year. Remember, only Czechoslovakia followed us.
You're talking about in reference to Israel.
You can't be in covenant without knowing the God of Israel. You can't be in covenant. You can't come into covenant. That's how God sorts the nations. This year starts a sorting year. And this angel said, I'm activating 2 years of preparation for my people, for God's people. And I believe that's why he sent.
What about the countries that will not side with Israel? What is God showing?
They'll have a mixture. Just like I could see a portion of Iran, like Hank said, coming alive. Mm-hmm. They're going to have revival. But what happens if this glory doesn't invade the government on earth to reflect God's aligned heart, they're not going to eventually, it will eventually darken and chaos will begin to break out. It'll be just like you read biblically. They'll turn their heart against God's covenant plan. It's not just Israel. It's against God. And so what I felt like I saw for 18 was this. This is a sorting out year, nation by nation by nation. It's going to be tumultuous at times.
I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. I'll have you back in a little while with all the prophets. But the guest that I want next is Rich Vera. And Rich saw most amazing inventions that are coming. He saw a cure for cancer. That is worth applauding. He saw a cure for Alzheimer's.
Wow.
I mean, you know what I believe? I believe God is going to, the countries that go in covenant with God
Absolutely.
Are going to see the greatest advances
Absolutely.
This world has ever seen. We'll be right back with Rich Ford.
Praise God. What'd you think of that? You know, as I'm listening to that, I haven't listened to that since January. And I'm realizing a lot of what he said, we talked about this morning, which is a God thing. And Pastor Bob recommended this book to me over a year ago. And this last week, I felt led to pick it up, start reading. And so it's amazing how God's doing this assemblage of people and activities in the body of Christ. He's in control of, I should say, he wants to be in charge of even what you're doing in your day to get you in line with what he's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. What an exciting time to be on God's side. Well, I have a few more minutes left. I tell you what. Pastor Rebecca, come on up here. Pastor Aaron, see with the kids. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Nancy, I'm going to have you guys share what God's showing you right now. I didn't give him any warning, but I know God's speaking to him. Hallelujah. Who wants to go first?
Actually, what God is speaking to me about 2018 is that this is the year of making sure the word gets out. Because my focus has been on, you know, with the live streaming and all the stuff that we're doing to make sure the word gets out and to promote this church and to promote what word is coming out of here so that it gets out to the people who need to hear it. And at the beginning of the year, I thought that was odd, actually. But then I saw a Facebook post by a prophet by the name of Harold Eatman, and some of you guys know who that is. But he also said God was speaking to him on expanding his footprint in the internet world, you know. And so he was actually getting ready just to start accumulating things to do what we're doing already. So God has really just been talking to me about making sure that the word is available and that people know that it's there.
And how long has that been going on?
How long is what?
God is speaking that to you.
Well, he's been, like, the middle of last year, he really started this. I was doing the push for, you know, the live streaming, when we were pushing that on.
Right. Well, here's the point. And we should have our own Roku channel here soon.
Yes.
We're trying to get
the Jesus.
Amen. Trying to get the people that are coordinating with us to get that ready. We didn't know this until in the past few weeks. I've been on local access television in Georgetown region since 2001, 17 years. And they just sold, I shouldn't say, the city just took over that station and said there'll be no churches allowed on it. So for the first time in 17 years, we will not be on television in Georgetown area anymore. But at the same time, God's telling Pastor Rebecca to expand through other means to get the word out, when in actuality, local access cable is pretty much dead anyway.
Yeah, it's old technology.
So I'm not concerned about going off something that most people don't even watch anymore, when there's other avenues we can go into that are much more productive. Come on up here, Aaron.
So that's what he's been talking to me since the middle of last year, is really just a push to get the live streaming and you know, our presence in the online world and the word to go out.
Yep, it's got to get out.
Yeah, and so that's what I've been working on, and that's what he's been talking to me about. So, yeah.
Pastor Nancy, hate to put you guys on the spot. We're just talking about what God's been showing you.
Basically, what I've been seeing for like the last year and then moving into this year is a preparation time of the things that God has promised and shown us are working with a release of the reality of the church rising up in its correct position. And actually, a little over a year ago, he showed me a blueprint, and he actually rolled the blueprint out open. And it wasn't like something that I couldn't see. I could see it in the intricacies, the detail, and it began to show me the order and how it had to be developed. And it wasn't the order that I thought it was going to be in. And one of the things that I remember being shocked by, because I'm trying to understand God with a natural mind, and you know that's not going to work so good, right? I saw the covering, and I'm thinking you're going to build this from the ground up. But the covering was before any supports that you would see like in a house. You'd put walls up before you put a roof. The covering was before any of these things. And so I'm like, but how's that going to stay up? And he says, I uphold all things by the power of my word. So I'm like, I began to understand the absolute importance of covering before things came into place, before things were trying to be developed or fleshed out, or
the intercessory covering.
Intercessory covering and,
first,
and the covering of the word and the importance of being under covering. And so then there's been a lot of attack over covenant. And, you know, like he's even talking in that video, you know, the challenges and so forth to covenant that have come. And I know that that is something that has probably happened to everybody in this body, that there's been some level attack on covenant and needing to come through that. But as a prophetic person, as a prophetess, it has been something that's always been on my mind and on my heart and just within my spiritual DNA to speak what God shows me, because that's how we create. We establish His word on this earth. He said, and there was. We say, and there will be. We need to be speaking what He shows us according to His word, and that's not just in a challenge, although in a challenge it becomes even more important that we stay focused and we stay speaking just what He shows us. You know, it is written, it is written, it is written to everything that, that comes along. That alignment, that focusing, and that single purpose of releasing His kingdom is what I'm on fire about, that I see that we all are going to start picking up our roles in the body. You know, we're not going to be, you know, a pastor or a worship leader or a prophetic person or a greeter at the door and then the rest of the body. We're going to be each person picking up their role, beginning to understand who they are and beginning to walk out in it, to stretch into those anointings that God has placed on each and every one of us. And it's not going to be, you know, the church show that's going on. It's going to be the church showing up. It's going to be the church walking out, the church demonstrating, because the people are tired of the old wineskin. They want to see that new thing coming forth. And this is a season of all of us rising up into that thing which God has caused us and created us to be, so that we can be the demonstration, those dead bones rising up, speaking, speak to those bones and them rising up and life coming upon and layer upon layer, God causing that to walk and life to come, breathing His breath into it, the power of the Holy Spirit breathing on us and causing us to move forward into that which we have been called to. So to me, it's a very exciting time, and it's a time when I'd like to encourage all of you just to let go of what was behind you and just to move forward, because this is a new day. Nobody's ever walked this way before. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall flat on our face, you know, and goof up, but that's okay, because God says just get up again and go, and we'll pick each other up, won't we? Won't we lift each other up and help each other just to move forward into those things? And there's grace for as we learn. You know, nobody expects a toddler to walk perfectly when they first start the walk. We even think it's kind of cute when they fall sometimes, because we say, oh, you know, they're trying. But we're there and we're encouraging. It's that same level of encouragement that, you know, we have for each other as we begin to move into the things of the Spirit. So it's a time of seeing His word being established on the earth, His church being established in the earth, us being established within His church, and His glory coming on us, because where He is, His glory is going to be as well.
Amen. Praise God. I believe that. Thank you. Pastor Aaron, just having people share, you guys share what God's been showing you.
I'd mention two things. Number one, the Lord is my strength. At the beginning of this year, you had the vision of I'll just say a lot of channels going by, and the result of that is you know, our circumstances being beyond our natural capability to process. I know for 2018, that's been 100% where I've been at across every arena that you can be at is at in a place where what is required is beyond my intellect, my strength, my ability, and learning how to depend on the Lord day by day, moment by moment, you know, whether I'm in the workplace or at home or wherever it may be. Again, it's not, we don't rely on the strength of the Lord when we come here and say, okay, now we're at church, now let's draw on God. No, it's something that day by day, moment by moment, it's learning relationship and to draw on the strength of God. And it's two pieces, and you can't leave one or the other. The first piece is recognizing my inadequacy, right? You cannot draw on the strength of God until you've recognized this is beyond me. But then it's also stepping into the strength of God. So it's not laying down in this place of weakness and saying, oh, I'm nothing, I can't do anything. It's saying, I am weak,
right,
but because of that, I draw on the grace of God to do what he's called me to do. And because of that, because of his strength, I am now strong.
Yes.
And walk confidently in that strength. But recognize it's not because of me. It's not my strength. It's not my ability. It's God's strength. And so walking in both of those, understanding both of those, it can't be one or the other. One's pride. One is, you know, not who God designed you to be, right? He designed us to walk as victors and overcomers, but we do that in his strength and his ability. Now, again, so that was number one. Number two is a little bit more interesting. There will be times where I'll hear a phrase in my spirit over and over again for months and sometimes even years on end. And maybe it was last year, I started just hearing this phrase, Lord, have mercy. And come again, Lord, have mercy. It would just go and go, Lord, have mercy. And it was probably a month or so ago, I heard it, but this time it was Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And as soon as I heard that, I knew that I recognized that line. And I looked it up, and it was Bartimaeus. You guys know who Bartimaeus is. And that's what Bartimaeus said when Jesus was walking by, and they told him to be quiet. They said, be quiet. And it was this phrase, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. He calls out to Jesus, and Jesus stops, ignores the people saying, be quiet, stops, and says, what will I do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And he receives his sight, is made whole. But what I realized is the Lord had been leading me through a process of restoring my sight, restoring my ability to see clearly. So strength and restoring sight, because we are in a season. I'm going to say we're going to come into a season. We're not. We're there. Where strength and sight. We need the strength of the Lord in what we're coming into, and we need sight to see clearly. There's so much that we cannot see, and we need sight by the Holy Spirit, the sight, the eyes of our spirit man, to be restored so that we can see clearly in the season that we're coming into. And by the way, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning, but it was something I knew was in my spirit. It was not mine. That was not anything else. It was something in my spirit that was coming up. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. But restoring our sight. Amen?
And you have to ignore the voices telling you to be quiet. That was good. I'm curious. How many can identify with what Pastor Aaron just shared? It's been a roller coaster. Not a roller coaster. It's just been a year. It's been a year so far. And not bad, but just stuff all over the place going on. And I've prayed for years, God, bring the change. Here it is. I know you're getting upset about it now. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it within our understanding. Cause to be people that do call upon you in the times of stretching. And you expand our ability to see what you are doing and what's going on in us around us. Let the prophetic drop on this church and raise up a whole congregation of people to see beyond. I thank you here. There are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none sacrificing their covenants or selling out. A church of one heart, one vision, one love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you, and as well.